and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
But it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
He comes on damn near Papito's full steam ahead.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. 37, make that 38 plus years now of being often imitated but never duplicated. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Of course, I am your ever so modest host. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in history. 37, make that 38 plus years now of knocking out all bums. Straight up, we'll bring in the boxing youth, PhD, Socrates Palmer, of course, boxing tonight in Las Vegas. Devin Haney defending the WBC lightweight title, or one of them, against, of course, Jorge Linares, the perennial contender, a former champion like from 11, take that back 13 years ago. Holy cow. And you know, the Haney people live here in San Francisco, and they were telling a friend of mine's wife, oh my God, we're going down for the big fight, and Devin's in a big fight this weekend and this and that. He's fighting a 35-year-old guy that's been stopped 5 out of 6 losses. Come on, man. It doesn't get much, put it this way, slim and none. Remember Don King talking about slim and none? That's what I think Linares' chances are tonight. Slim and none, and Slim just left town. So, of course, there's also Donito Donaire. Are we going to play taps for Donito, or are we going to play Eye of the Tiger? What's going to be? He's 38 years old, of course, a former champion. Really peaked in 2007. Actually, 7-7-2007. July 7, 2007, when he knocked out Victor Chinian. I mean, knocked him into another world. But that was, like, a lot of way to go and a lot of years ago. Straight up, Donito still got it. We'll see tonight. Of course, ESPN and The Zone going with live boxing today. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, open phone lines real quick around the planet. If you want to join us, I dare. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, there's also the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. You can text us here in the studios, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. You're tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, brought to you by the WBC.
You're super fine. I'm so glad.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Let the tower roll in here a little bit. There ain't nothing stopping us now, 38 years now. There's nothing to stop me, 38 years of radio. My name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. On the line, of course, from the Bronx, is a Bronx Bomber, boxing's true PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, Mr. Palmer, sir?
I'm doing great, Pedro. How's it going with yourself?
That's okay. You sound a little subdued today. Is it it's like sunny and wonderful in New York or what?
Are you trolling us New Yorkers and East Coast people that have to deal with this crappy weather on Memorial Day weekend?
Well, you know, listen, we really don't have crappy weather out here in California. That's sort of like the flip side. But then again, it costs a lot of money to live here.
Yeah, well, it's not cheap over here either, but yes, at least you guys have good weather about 90% of the year, so.
Okay, Devin Haney's people.
It is what it is. Hopefully clears up.
Okay, Devin Haney's people were all over San Francisco telling Hector's wife, that Devin's in a life and death fight this week and he's going to defend his title and they're going to Las Vegas or driving down to Vegas, this and that. They didn't tell her the guy was 35 years old and been stopped in five of his six losses.
You know, but he's still dangerous. Jorge Linares is not it's definitely his stiffest competition up to this point.
And what does that say about him?
People expect Devin Haney to win. It says that he's been matched very carefully. You know, he had a similar opponent, in front of him not too long ago in Gamboa and wasn't able to stop him. As a matter of fact, it was one of his worst performances, very lackluster. He was very content to just outbox and not do much and get an easy decision. One that certainly isn't going to make you say, hey, Devin Haney should be, you know, considered to be one of the best lightweights in the world, or he could stake his claim as the best. No, You know, he needs a significant, eye-grabbing attention win tonight against a very good fighter. If, and that doesn't necessarily mean a knockout. You know, if he could outclass Linares and never be in danger for 12 rounds, I would take that because Linares is a very, very good fighter, very crafty offensive fighter. My thing is this, how long will Linares' face hold up? You know, that's, he swells easy. He cuts a lot. And he's, you know, he's been prone to get dropped, you okay. know, but up until Teofimo Lopez, he gave, Vasily Lomachenko his toughest fight. And in fact, he dropped Lomachenko with a legit right hand.
Yep.
So it's going to be an interesting fight.
No doubt about that. Of course, that's tonight on The Zone. We'll talk about that in depth. Now, Haney, of course, coming to us from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California, now living in Los Angeles, 25 and zip. As I said, Linares has lost 6 times, 5 stops. Some of those have been cuts and things like that. But at the end of the day, he's got Mayweather in his ear. It appears that Floyd Mayweather Jr. is in his ear. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but it's not a good thing or a bad thing. It's sort of like I have mixed emotions about that. But the bottom line is, you know, when Mayweather fought, some people are going to get upset when I say this, but when Mayweather fought, when the bell rang, the excitement stopped. Okay, is that going to be the case with Devin? Is that going to be the case with Devin Haney? I mean, he promised he was going to deliver against Gamboa. I'm going to knock him down more times than Terrence Crawford did. He never even dropped him.
I'll tell you what, though. When Mayweather was Pretty Boy Mayweather, before he became Money Mayweather, he was a pretty exciting fighter. You know, he had some nice moments at lightweight, and he was a guy that really sat in the pocket, used tremendous natural ability that he had. Devin Haney still has to pay his dues, you know, and I understand defensive fighters tend to last longer. And at the end of the day, it's prize fighting. It's about money, you know, and making the most out of your career. But there's too many guys. It's just becoming cliche and played out, you know, create your own legacy. You know, you've heard Shakur Stevenson, you know, he's the same way. Oh, I'm the next Mayweather, Devin Haney. I'm the next Mayweather. Of course, Tank Davis. It's like, stand on your own 2 feet. You know, it's like, you know, make your own legacy. Stop trying to be a copycat because no, you will not be the next Floyd Mayweather because Mayweather's a generational type of talent.
Thank
and I don't
God.
See that in those three guys.
Thank God. Listen, how come, all right, if he's a once in a generation fighter, how come then I'm not compelled or I watch Duran's old fights. I watch Leonard's old fights. I watch Ali's old fights. I watch, Hagler's old fights. I even watch some of Hopkins fights. I never can, nothing ever compels me to watch an old Floyd Mayweather fight. Why?
Because we understand the talent that Mayweather had and you wish that he would have done more, not just in his career, but for the sport. I mean, there's fights that, fighters that he avoided, plain and simple. And he's never going to be able to live that down. I mean, before he was making monster paydays, he turned down an Antonio Margarito fight. He never fought Miguel Cotto when he was the best version of Miguel Cotto. He never fought the best version of Shane Mosley. He could have fought Paul Williams. I mean, Costa Zou. There's a long list of guys that he avoided, you know, so he will always have that, you know, and, you know, I say generational talent because, you know, he really had a spotless career. I mean, up until maybe obviously the first fight against Jose Luis Castillo, in which a lot of people think he lost, including myself. And there's that footage of him getting smacked up by Paul Spadafore in sparring. You know, that's another guy that he avoided. So it's, you know, he has left room for criticism, you know, despite the flawless record and him being arrogant and the whole TBE, which is just nonsense.
One guy that has not gotten his props has been Bojack. Bojack seems to be like this, a whisker short in some fights. Now we find out that, Jean Pascal tested positive, not for one steroid, 3 of them.
Yeah, I've met Jean Pascal, a few years back. And I've been inside a lot of locker rooms and I've seen athletes and Jean Pascal had the type of physique that you're like, damn, you know, and he didn't even have a fight coming up and the guy was just, he looked like a comic book hero. now we know, you know, there's a reason why. I mean, Father Time, you know, is undefeated, as we know, and a lot of fighters tend to take the shortcuts when they're aging. We don't know how long Jean Pascal was using, PEDs. That's something that he's going to have to live with the rest of his career. And Badou Jack, lost a big payday. You know, that's the guys that I feel bad for. The guys that train hard and, you know, they're set to get a big payday and redemption. And then it falls through. I wonder if they're going to, if the sanctioning bodies that Jean Pascal represents, are they going to make him vacate those titles while he faces a suspension?
Well, let's be honest. If he tested positive with a second test, they need to suspend him. Now, Manny Pacquiao and Errol Spence going to go down August 21st. Why is it that people, somebody, even myself, seem to be inclined to give Manny Pacquiao a shot here against a much younger and bigger guy?
Because he's Manny Pacquiao. That's why. I think it's, you know, I think that's part of the reason. I think, you know, Manny Pacquiao, to, you know, I guess to echo the same thing I said earlier, he's a once in a generation type of fighter. He's a special fighter. And he really hasn't shown much slippage. You know, he's not active as he once was, but you know, when he's been out there, he's won pretty easy. You know, Adrian Broner, Keith Thurman. And there's also the lingering doubt of Errol Spence. Is he fully back? You know, I mean, he had that monster car accident, which could have been tragic. You know, happy that he was able to recover and then step into the ring against Danny Garcia.
Sock. Doesn't Errol Spence always look like he's got a buzz going on? I'm telling you, I think that guy smokes more weed than Cuddy. Cuddy shaking his head. No.
He does tend to. I'm going to say something politically incorrect, but his eyes do seem more slanted than Manny Pacquiao's at times. Yes, he does look.
Oh, that was a good one there. Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Now, what's happening real quick before we go to the break? What's happening with Japan? Are they going to do the Olympics or not? It looks like maybe no.
There's a big movement, you know, to stop the Olympic Games. You know, I don't know what to say. You know, it's when you get the Olympics, obviously you're getting people from all over the globe. I hope it happens, you know, and limit the capacity. I mean, you got to feel for these athletes. I mean, these Olympic athletes live for this their entire life. And then it already was postponed. And then if it gets postponed or canceled, you got to feel for them. That's who I feel for, the athletes, you know, not the networks or the sponsors.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing. On occasion, we talk about MMA as well. Of course, the UFC rock and rolling, $690 million in total revenues last year. And guess how much went to the fighters?
Wow.
$6. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA.
Checking it out, watching the man with the fat feet. Got the hippest friends and the bad boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks down to the nightclub. You can get what you want if you know how to ride to the nightclub. Ooh, we be slick, slick, slick.
Now, usually when I play taps, that means somebody has passed away. But no, I'm going to use this as a question. For my guests, of course, I'm talking about boxing's PhD, my right hand, Mr. Socrates Palmer. Now tonight, will they be playing taps for Nonito Donaire, or will they be playing Eye of the Tiger?
Maybe it's going to be Last Dance. You know, I think Nonito Donaire has a really good chance of pulling off a slight upset. I mean, he's 38, but his opponent's not a spring chicken. He's 34. You know, and he's very short. He's about 5'3", you know, and he's a southpaw. He's got good power. But Nonito Donaire has been in there with the best of the best, you know, and he hasn't fought in about 16 months since he fought Inunue. Actually, both fighters, Uwali fought in the undercard of that fight against Inunue's brother. So it's a very interesting fight. It's a classic fight. It's the once great champion against the good but not really proven young champion who's really not so young himself.
Oh, okay.
Like I said, he's 34.
But so, let's look at it from this point of view. Mr. Donaire, his peak was 5,075 days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time ago. Yeah.
Since he fought Rigondeaux. I mean, which was probably one of his worst moments. You know, he was, you know, beaten thoroughly, thrashed by Rigondeaux.
Bigger man.
But the guy's still around. Yeah, you know, but he fought Nicholas Walters, who was at the time a very scary puncher, and had his moments in that fight. You know, Carl Frampton. But he's fighting more at his natural weight, but it's a lot of miles on those tires. You know, this 47th fight.
Yeah. What happened to Nicholas Walters?
I mean,
what happened to Nicholas Walters? He was supposed to be a monster. What happened to that guy?
Lomachenko took his heart.
Guess so.
All I can say. I mean, and he never came back. I would have to really do a dive on him, but I guess he made enough money that he's living comfortably in Jamaica, you know, the axe man. Okay. You know, he had a good gimmick. He would come into the ring with an axe. Kind of a short-lived.
Okay. Andre Ward is obviously training. I don't know whether he's training for a comeback or not, but he's lost a lot of weight. You can see it. He's no longer a fat black guy on TV. He's like a cut-up athlete, okay? I mean, you can just see it in his chin. He hasn't got a double chin anymore, nothing. So he's obviously training. The target is Canelo. Now, he and Canelo, if they were to rumble, of course, if I was Canelo, I'd have him come down to 168 pounds and not have him. I wouldn't give Andre Ward one single tune-up fight because I think that would work against me. What do you think about that?
I agree. And I don't think Andre Ward would want a tune-up fight either. I mean, a lot of bad things can happen in a tune-up fight. You know, I mean, no fight is quote-unquote easy. You know, you can catch a headbutt, an elbow, and, you know, things could really get derailed fast. If Andre Ward wants to make a comeback, you know, more power to him. I mean, he left at the top of his game. He kind of redeemed himself in a fight against Kovalev because in the first fight, a lot of people think he got a gift. You know, I'm surprised because I thought Andre was one of those guys that, would stay retired. You know, he would kind of fight the temptation and keep his ego in check, but Canelo's a big draw.
Sock, let me put it to you like this. Maybe he's made, I'm not kidding you, maybe Andre's made $10 million total in his entire career. I was looking at it. Maybe he's made $10 million bucks. Maybe he's made a little bit more. But the bottom line is he can make more with one night with Canelo than he could in maybe two of his prior careers.
I 1,000% agree. You know, it's a shame. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, without a doubt, you know, for a good period of time was the best in the world. You know, the guy that ran through the Super Six, which was a great tournament, and he really looked flawless.
I got a question for you. I got a question for you, mm-hmm. Sock. Hector keeps saying over and over again that Kessler was a bum. Was Michael Kessler a bum?
Miguel Kessler a bum. No, that's harsh.
I know that's harsh. But here's what's up. Kessler came in here and he was here for a week before the fight here in Oakland and he talks. I think I was a ring announcer and he talks so much smack. You would not believe it, man. I mean, he was like, wow, we couldn't believe it. So he overdid it. And of course, Andre shut him down for the most part. And then he quit before the fight was over with because he didn't want to lose the points in that Super Six tournament. You remember the scandal at the end there when he decided he would resign instead of take a knockout loss?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do recall that. And, I mean, you know, he had a good career. I mean, he comes from Denmark, not necessarily the, you know, the fight capital of the world. And he kind of, you know, he was a big draw. He fought some big names, Carl Froch and Lucien Boutte, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, I think it was okay. I wouldn't call him a bum. Okay. You know, I thought that maybe a little overrated, okay. You know, but there's a lot of fighters that are overrated.
Oscar Lopez says he wants Tank, Gervonta Davis and Shakur Stevenson. Now, Tank's got a date in June. on a pay-per-view fight, of course, against a guy by the name of, I can't think of his name right now. Anyway, at the end of the day.
Barrios?
Yeah, he's moving up to 140 pounds, Mr. Barrios. And is that a size disadvantage for him, or is that just the fact that he needs a fight in between and this guy looks like an easy mark?
I think it could be a little bit of both. You know, Barrios is a tough fighter. You know, he's just not, you know, to use the word, I don't think he's a bump. You know, he's a natural 140. He's Mexican. He's going to come to bring it. Tank is a great fighter, a lot of talent, explosive power, quick hands, but he's going to have his hands full. I don't think Mr. Barrios is just going to give up his, trinket to Tank Davis. And I have to call it trinket because, as we know, there's only one world champion at 140 pounds, and that's Josh Taylor.
Yeah, I'll have Josh Taylor on in the next segment. Speaking of Josh Taylor, let's talk about that to an extent. I mean, he went out there, he did his thing, and it was sort of a little scary there because you and I were counting the points up at the end, and we realized that he didn't win by that many points. I mean, he won the fight, but he didn't win by that many points. He sort of skated a little bit.
Yeah, he almost, I was going to say he almost blew it, but yeah, I mean, look, if you score, you're supposed to score a fight each round individually, you know, and, at the end of the night, they kind of both won the same amount of rounds, but just the rounds that Taylor won were obviously with the knockdowns and more impressive. And he was never really in any danger throughout the fight. You know, he was the catalyst throughout. And Josh Taylor's a bad dude. You know, I wonder how long he's going to stay at 140 pounds. Dangling Terrence Crawford.
But here's my point, is that don't push him to another weight class. Why does everybody want these guys to jump weight classes? Man, you got to fight where you're your best. You know, let him do something at 140, make some title offenses. Let him fill up a soccer stadium in England or Glasgow, Scotland or something like that. I mean, listen, it was good for him, good for the business that he won. And you know what I'm talking about as far as he's concerned, because, you know, Ramirez,
yes,
he can maybe fill up the Civic Center in San Antonio, but this guy can fill up a soccer stadium.
I agree with you wholeheartedly, brother. You're right. You know, it depends. I think it depends on the fighter. How much more does he want to stay in the game? That's number one. Number two, your manager and your promoter, you know, obviously the promoter has his best interest in at heart, which is to make the most money possible. And obviously the biggest fight that can be made for Josh Taylor is either a Terrence Crawford fight or if Teofimo Lopez wants to step up. You know, those are the two biggest fights. But if Josh Taylor said, hey, I had a tough year and a half, let me make some money, defend one of these sanctioning bodies at home, and like you said, fill up a soccer arena, 50, 60,000 fans, it can happen.
Okay.
And he deserves a break.
Real quick, fighter's sons. Did you happen to see Fernando Vargas's kid's last opponent?
Did it happen? No, I didn't. I know, but which he's got two kids, right?
Oh, I don't know.
One is like 2-0.
One, I thought it was Fernando Vargas Jr. I thought anyway, he fought a guy that was
Junior, yes. Uh-huh.
He fought a guy that was so bad, Cuddy's got four wins over him.
Not surprising, bro. Not surprising.
Hey, soccer
these, a lot of these opponents. Mm-hmm.
Boxing's PhD, of course. Hey, you gonna take the kids out for pizza this week or what?
Yes, I will, thanks to Uncle Pedro. Absolutely.
No, that was from Uncle Scott. But
Chuck E. Cheese, here we come.
All right. Hey, all the best to you. Have a great weekend. Say hello to the family, and I thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you, my brother. Happy Memorial Day to everybody.
Yeah. A little slight delay there in the Skype broadcast back and forth there. Of course, we go to a Skype here. That's the best way to have guests on the air. We have them on regular phones. Sometimes the phone drops. Everybody's on cell phones. Of course, not the old nightmare. It used to be with cell phones, but it still can be a nightmare. Skype rocks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC Boxing TV.
I mean, I was having trouble because they play around so young today, very young. I was talking to my doctor. You know my doctor, Dr. Vinny Boombach. You know my doctor? Yeah. Well, he told me last week at his office he got 6 cases of VD. I mean, he's all right now, you know.
You're listening to Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez. Brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC. Right here on Sports Byline.
Last Saturday night, Las Vegas, Nevada, the kid came in from Glasgow, Scotland. Of course, a place that I used to be a bit of a boxing fixture.
What?
A boxing fixture in Glasgow, Scotland. Some little skinny kid from San Francisco? You gotta be kidding me. Well, I was the boxing writer for the boxing reporter for the Glasgow Sunday Post, which was the biggest newspaper in the entire country. It's had like a 1.5 million circulation throughout Europe. We were rocking and rolling in the 90s, making some good money, having some fun, no doubt about that. Now, of course, Glasgow has Josh Taylor, the world 140-pound champion, now 18 and zip, 13 kills. Of course, a unanimous winner of Jose Ramirez last week, because Ramirez dropping to 26-1, losing for the first time, 18 stops. Scores were 114, 112 across the board. Bottom line is, this kid deserves praise.
All right, we're here with the new undisputed junior welterweight champion of the world, still getting sorted out with all the new belts. Josh, describe the feeling.
Well, listen, I'm ecstatic. You know, I've trained my whole life for this, man. I've dedicated my whole life for this moment. I've dreamt of it so many times over, man. I'm so happy. I'm over the moon, man. I'm over the moon. I've trained it. I've trained for this moment all my life. Mum, Dad, Finch, Danielle, I told you I would do it. I told you I would do it. We've done it. All the hard work's paid off. I love you so much.
Someone who was crucial in your road to undisputed and who planted that seed was Ken Buchanan, the first Scottish undisputed champion in the two-belt era. Now you've done it in the four-belt era. What message do you want to send to him? What does he mean to you?
I'm just like you, champ. I did it just like you. I'll see you when I get home. Much love. He's a legend. I'm a legend. You gave me so much inspiration to do this. And I'm just like you. I'll see you soon, champ.
Now, you said you were going to stop him. He said he was going to stop you. What do you think helped get him up off that canvas in the sixth and the seventh round?
Oh, I've got nothing but love for Ramirez. I mean, all this week. This week it was no disrespect, it was all just part of the mind games to get inside his head, to make him more eager to jump in at me and make him more aggressive to use his aggression against him. We said that all week in the build-up, we're going to use his aggression against him, and that's what we did. We played the games up until this week. It was just purely getting his head, there was no disrespect, it's all love. I've got nothing but love and respect for Ramirez. I think he was a great champion, a great ambassador for the sport, and I've got nothing but respect for him, and I wish him all the best in the future.
I'm gonna go get talk to Jose in a few minutes, but it was a very touching moment when he came up to you. You gave each other a hug. What was said between two warriors?
It was just nothing but respect and love, you know. He wasn't happy with the way, obviously, my mannerism through the week. But I said to him, listen, it was no disrespect. It was all just to get inside your head and make you more aggressive, and that's what I did. And he accepted it. He accepted my apology for maybe the way I was acting. And we're all good, so he wished me all the best and blessed me well with my family, so he's a really good person.
On the broadcast, your performance was described as sublime, athletic, excellent boxing, power, of course. How would you describe what you just did tonight in the ring against another elite fighter in Jose Ramirez?
I thought it was a great performance, you know. At times I gave him a little bit more success than, you know, I could have gave him by holding my feet and letting him get his punches off. If I kept moving like I did a few times, he would have never got near me the whole 12 rounds. It would have been a shutout. I thought the scorecards were a little bit tight. I thought they were well wider than that. You know, I wasn't too happy with the selection of the judges, but I wasn't going to moan because I was so confident in winning this fight anyway. So, and it's told, you know, two knockdowns. And I won most of the rounds, and they scored at 114, 112, I think it was, which is a bit too close for my liking.
So basically, if you hadn't scored those knockdowns, it would have been a draw. So did you believe that going in? What were the instructions that Ben was giving you that worked for you, especially down the stretch? Because it seemed you were conserving some energy for that final run.
No, I wasn't conserving energy. I was boxing him. I was boxing him using his aggression against him and picking him off, you know, using my jab, using the feints, making him hesitant to come in. And when he came in, I made him pay for it a couple of times by decking him and putting him on his backside. You know, so that was the plan all along, to box him and keep smart, not to conserve energy. I could have fought that 12 rounds at a frantic pace if I wanted to, but that wasn't the smart plan to do.
You've cleaned out 140 pounds. You went through Baranchik, you went through Postal, you went through Regis Prograde. Now you've gone through Jose Ramirez. What is next for you?
I don't know. We'll take it as it comes. You know, the options aren't going to be short of what's coming next. But listen, there's a new Warrior King on the map, and it's from Bonnie Scotland. And that's the third Mexican I've beaten in a row, you know, so There we go. He's a new warrior king, and he's from Scotland. Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
He's 18 and zip, 13 KOs. Of course, welcome Josh Taylor to the Undisputed World Championship. He deserved it. He earned it. And without a doubt, dropping his opponent Ramirez twice in that fight probably, obviously was the determining factor. 114-112, the fight was too close as far as the scorecards were concerned. But, you know, Mr. Josh Taylor, he sort of like was complacent at certain times, and you know, the complacency will come back and bite you in the butt, especially in a professional boxing match. Now, speaking of boxing, of course, we've got, Oscar Lopez talking about, you know, Tank Davis, maybe Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson's got a date coming up against a guy by the name of Jeremiah Nakathilia. And that's going to go down, of course, June the 12th on ESPN, the WBO interim 130-pound title. Of course, June 19th, Teofimo Lopez on pay-per-view coming to us from Miami, Florida. Of course, the Triller people putting this together. Teofimo Lopez unbeaten at 135 pounds, now 16 and zip. Now, who would think that an undisputed world champion could only have 16 fights? But he does. Teofimo Lopez, of course, beat Vasyl Lomachenko, not beat him easily, beat him handily. You know, George Kambosos undefeated, I think 20-0 or 19-0, coming to us from Australia. Good luck on that one. I'm not trying to say he has no chance, but he has a slim chance. June the 19th as well, ESPN, of course, Nanoa Inoue, of course, the rage from Japan, taking on Michael Adesa Marinas, of course, the WBA and IBF 180-pound titles on the line. Inoue, of course, was a guy that beat up on, you know, Mr. Nonito Donaire, of course, as an action night. And I have a problem with Donaire still fighting because of the fact that, you know, he's sharp, he's articulate, he could probably be doing the Filipino broadcast for the rest of his life, I think, if he wanted to, as far as, you know, boxing here in the United States, going back to the Philippines and things like that. So he can make some money in media. He's articulate, and he's got a pretty wife, she's pretty sharp, pretty astute as far as her managerial skills are concerned, at least that's what her reputation is. But the bottom line is, he's 38 years old, and he's fighting at 118 pounds, which is like, you know, the old guys just don't seem to last that long, especially at the lighter weights and making those lighter weights. Of course, wish them the very best luck, but slim and none, maybe there tonight. June 19th, Jermell Charlo's back. Of course, the WBC middleweight champion, the better of the Charlo brothers, now undefeated. Jermell Charlo taking on Juan Macias Montiel. Why doesn't he fight? Why does he keep fighting these guys that we really don't know much about? I mean, he might as well just be fighting me or Scott Cuddy or Hector Martinez or somebody like that, because he keeps wanting to fight guys that you have to scrape, you have to like take out a dictionary or an encyclopedia and look it up. You got to look these guys up that he fights. Why? Because he doesn't want to step up to 168 pounds. He doesn't want to fight Canelo. He talks about Canelo. He says Canelo should come to 160 and fight him. Why? Why should Canelo go to 160 and fight you? There's no money advantage of fighting Jermell Charlo. None whatsoever. I mean, you bring no tickets to the dance. I mean, the fact that you did well on the on a recent Fox broadcast, as far as the numbers were concerned, I think that had a lot to do with the fact that boxing fans were starved, they were locked up because of the pandemic, and the fact that you were the only thing on TV, so they watched. There's no doubt about that. But as far as like wanting to come see you fight again, Jermell Charlo, I think you need to come up with some exciting performances that you haven't come up with yet. He is the WBC middleweight champion. Of course, Juan Macias Montiel is June 19th on Showtime. So the 19th, get this, 19th is going to be pay-per-view, the Triller thing with Teofimo Lopez and Kambosos coming to us from Miami. Of course, I think the night before they're going to go with Floyd Mayweather and that Logan Paul guy. We'll talk about that in a second. Probably shouldn't, but we will. And then, of course, the 19th on ESPN, the aforementioned Nanoa Inoue taking on Desa Marinas. Of course, that's the WBA and IBF 118-pound titles. And then you got June 19th, same date, Showtime, Jermell Charlo versus Montiel. So all three fights on different networks. And, of course, the pay-per-view end of that being Teofimo Lopez and George Kambosos. They're going to try to push that one hard. The Triller people, they say that Snoop Doggy Dogg's involved. I mean, hearing all this stuff, you know, all these different people involved. The bottom line is I haven't seen anybody come up with a big press conference or some press releases or anything like that. Sort of like they're all sort of in the dark, sort of like hiding in the background. They really don't want to come out and see who is really Triller. So the bottom line is Snoop Doggy Dogg, you know, Mike Tyson's been involved, talked about him putting some money in there. Of course, Mike Tyson's got the Tyson Ranch down there, thinking about doing another reality TV show. He wants to do another reality TV show. Evidently, there's a big money in that for him. More power to him on that. Hey, this word got in here on the drugs that, that John Pascal, the WBA light heavyweight title holder, tested positive for. Get this. Second test. They did the first test, and then he came back, and they did it again. VADA, the Voluntary Anti-Doping Association, confirmed the second one. It says here he tested positive for epetrine-boline, drostenolone, and drostenolone metabolite A. So there's three different things, all three steroids. More power to him. I hope he gets suspended from boxing forever because, you know, like I said, you can cheat in other sports. You can cheat at golf, you know, like Donald Trump likes to cheat at golf. Oscar De La Hoya told me he was the biggest cheat in the world when it comes to playing golf. Donald Trump was. But you can cheat at golf. You can cheat it at baseball. You can cheat a lot of things. It's not going to hurt anybody. It's not going to get anybody killed. It's not going to hit anybody severely injured. You get around, play around in boxing, man, people get hurt. You know, I mean, the bud shows in boxing. That's why boxing is just such a contact sport. And people don't want to get off on that, the fact that, yes, guys are getting paid to get hit. But the bottom line is they need to be able to perform in a somewhat safe atmosphere. And we talked about that with Dr. Netanyahu last week. Of course, he was talking to me about basically guys in the gym and how guys get hurt in the gym. And a lot of guys got hurt in the gym. I remember Dana Holly, of course, he ended up dying in prison. One of those guys that we sparred with growing up, but we used to beat the snot out of him Tuesdays and Thursdays down there at the Boys Club. Hector doesn't want to cop to it, but man, I think we gave this guy the brain damage that ended up making him a murderer. I kid you not. Anyway, he murdered some guy. He went to prison. They killed him in jail, but he was our sparring partner and he used to take lickings and just keep coming and coming and coming. And all you had to do, you had to plant your feet and throw on him. Okay. And he was one of those guys I look back at now and I say to myself, you know, maybe the residual effects of us beating on him like a bongo drum twice a week for like 6 or 7 months of the year. Okay. And for a couple of years, I think it took his residual effects. No doubt about that. May he rest in peace. Dana Holly. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA. Yes, I'm disappointed. The stream is not working, but they promised me they'll get the stream working tomorrow. So hopefully the stream will be rocking and rolling tomorrow. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC. You can check out their website, WBCBoxing.com. There's 1,000 different things on the website. Ratings, results, purse bids, nutrition, you name it. All kinds of different tips going on at the WBC website, WBCBoxing.com. Tower of power to the break.
Let's do it. Anybody who wants to fight, let's go.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
Pedro offers you his protection.
This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Checking out some odds tonight. Of course, Devin Haney, a minus 850 favorite, 8.5 to 1, of course, over Jorge Linares. You want to bet on Linares, it's plus 450. In other words, you bet 100, you get 550 back. Nonito Donaire and Mr. Nordine, of course, Nordine, a 250 favorite. Nonito Donaire, plus 195 underdog. Of course, as far as the Haney fight's concerned, it's 8.5 rounds, the under and the over. Speaking of fights, tonight, the Grand Hotel, my old stomping grounds, Tijuana, Mexico. I remember when I owned TJ. I mean, listen, Octavio Moran was doing these fights once a month, and I was his TV guy as far as the English television was concerned. So I got to go down there on a Friday night. If we did it on a Saturday, I get to spend time in Tijuana, have a good time. Man, those were the good times when I ran that place. I remember when I went to the Grand Hotel, and that's where this fight's going to be, at the Grand Hotel, between Chuco Diaz and Elvis Torres. Of course, they're batting at 140 pounds. They'll be on TV Azteca today. But I remember going to the Grand Hotel and asking them for flour tortillas, and they looked at me like I was queer. And I don't mean queer like sexually. I mean like what? We got flour tortillas. Evidently, flour tortillas weren't hip as far as Tijuana was concerned in the 1990s. I kid you not. So I couldn't get any flour tortillas. But I had a good time down there, and I really, really, really had a good time. I wish we can go back to TJ and do fights there. Of course, they say it's violent in this. And it was never violent when I went down there because you just knew where to go. I mean, you know, you want to go into alleys and things like that, dark places, things might happen. You want to stay on the main street and the main drag? It's one of the greatest dance places, without a doubt. You can dance all night long, and the booze flows. You got the dough. The liquor will flow in Tijuana, no doubt about that. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. In case you tune in for the very first time today, let me welcome you to the Ring Talk family of listeners. Of course, we've been here like 37, make that 38-plus years now, live on the radio, of course, some of you Saturday and Sundays. Saturday for an hour, 11 a.m. Pacific, and that's 2 p.m. Eastern time, live, of course, on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, Channel 217, and Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel, which is not working. Of course, and of course, we come to you on Sunday for 2 hours, same time, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2 hours of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the World Boxing Council. Speaking of Sunday, we'll bring in the godson, the son of the WBC founder, Mr. Mauricio Sulaiman, president of the current World Boxing Council, as I speak. He will be here tomorrow to talk about WBC business. Of course, what's happening as far as post-fight, Devin Haney, Ryan Garcia, what's happening, 135 pounds, Teofimo Lopez. There's a big, like a trifecta there at 135. Of course, King Teo is on top. But the bottom line is, who is number two? We'll talk about that in depth with Mauricio tomorrow, maybe. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tower of Power to the break. You are tuned to the longest-running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I am off to a birthday party in Concord, California. I want to wish my little cousin, my second cousin, Jay, of course. This is his 14th birthday. He's graduating from junior high school. We wish him the very best. Education, education, and more education. That's all I talk about that kid. That's all I want to talk to that kid about is education. Why? Because that's his future. You've been listening to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA, the executive producer, the guy that's not in charge of the stream, Scott Cuddy. I love him, without a doubt. Till next week, till tomorrow, hands up, chin down. Most importantly, don't forget Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. We'll bring in the Godfather Larry Merchant and Mauricio Sulaiman on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Sunday,